This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
And thank you for being with us on the Vedic Wisdom. I'd like to talk to you today on a little bit higher subject. I'd like to talk about how one becomes and what is the characteristics of one who is a true servant of God. We have the problem with organized religions now, where they are making light of what it means to be a servant of God. They're trying to get everybody to come and join from the concept of being relieved from your sinful activities, of being forgiven for being a downright nonsense sometimes. They're not teaching how to develop love of God. They're teaching how to fit into a society that makes you feel you're saved. So, this is not servant of God platform. Asking God for this and that and the other thing, expecting him to jump when you ask for something, expecting an immediate response or reaction. This is not love of God. This is demand. Who are you or I to demand? God is the supreme personality of Godhead, the topmost being, the cause of all causes, the person from which everything emanates, the source of truth and love and light, all opulences, all strength, beauty, knowledge, wisdom, renunciation, all the good qualities of patience, love, honesty, truthfulness, forbearance, caring, the supreme enjoyer, he who actually deserves to enjoy his property being everything. He is the one who has set the standard, controls the rules and the results. He is the one who lives a life of compassion and concern for all living entities. To become his servant is no easy thing. It shouldn't be taken lightly. It's not something that you have as a birthright. Because this birth in this material world is actually a disqualification to become a servant of God. Because the place is so contaminated. The bodies are so contaminated. The mind, the intelligence, the senses, all of it is so limited. They're all imperfect. All limiting from you, limiting you from being your highest potential. And what is your highest potential? To be a true servant of God. So we live in this material world, and because we identify with the body, we lose that connection with our eternal relationship with the Lord and recognize this life is but the prelude to the next life, and that this life should never be considered the all in all. And all of the things and experiences and items we concern ourselves with in this material world is but a portion, a fraction, small fraction, of our lives, our eternal lives. But on that eternal platform, there lives an eternal relationship between you as an eternal being and the Lord as an eternal being, and there lies happiness. There lies the place of home, satisfaction. In reality, we are all eternal servants of God. But in the material world, we identify with the body and become servants of ourselves. And those things close to us, and gradually things more extended around us. But it's all based around our selfish perspective. This is not God consciousness. So our responsibility in the human form of life is to analyze this issue, to get above these misconceptions of who I am, why I'm here, what I should do, what is important, where do I go at death. The answers are all there in the Vedic literature, and you just get a few of the answers, and then you start looking at the activities and the resources and the involvement and the desires and the resultants that you are going through here in this material world, and you go, it has a whole different value than I thought it did. A whole different meaning. And the reason I'm doing everything is wrong. The intent is wrong. The real intent of anything you do in the material world should be to liberate your consciousness from illusion and come to the platform of being a truthful servant of God. How do you get to be a servant? How do you get noticed? What's the qualifications? You must approach a spiritual master, an enlightened spiritual being, a great saint, sage, who can show you, explain to you how it really works. This material manifestation is very complex. Just biology is complex. Just mathematics is complex. Just politics is complex. Just human nature is complex. Oh my goodness, wait a minute. All these things are actually complex, and they constitute one massively complex experience. And that's why you identify with the body and become confused about your eternal relationship with God. So when you start seeing that you don't know, and you approach a spiritual master who does know, and you humbly inquire from him and render some service and ask intelligent questions, he will impart to you the right perspective, giving you facts, giving you relationships, understandings, in-depth analysis of the situation as it actually is. Not as it appears to you and everyone else, but as it actually is. I mean, let's just take a glimpse into the spiritual perspective of life here. We, conscious beings, are all eternal living entities. And we all take temporary bodies made out of matter, and we enter into them in the womb, and we empower those bodies, and we become so intimately related with those bodies that we think the body is us. But actually, it's not. It is a manifestation of the place, nature. So now if you open your eyes, spiritual vision is every single growing living thing is the same living entity in completely unique body. That is the omnipotency of God. He can make it such that you get a body of whatever type in this material manifestation. There's millions and millions and billions and trillions of living entities here. The lucky ones have human form or higher consciousness, like animals or like demigods. But they have an opportunity to interact and learn. And the lower ones, they're grass, bugs. So there is a vision here. We're not the bodies. This is a place of spiritual living entities living temporarily in bodies that are made of matter. But the substance is the eternal living entities who are constitutionally servants of God. But they're here in bodies, and they therefore think they're servants of the body and those that they know in relationship to the body. But it all changes because everybody cycles through life and death and life and death and life and death. It's going on constantly. Some bugs, some creatures live very, very short lives. Some trees, some plants live very, very long lives. And we're in between. So many species in between. The place stays. The planet's still here after generations and generations and generations of humans. And many times more than that of the lower species. And some trees live to see hundreds of generations of humans. But they go too. An ice age comes over and they're going. So the real perspective is spirit covered with matter. The real perspective is I'm an eternal living entity, actually eternal servant of God. That's my constitutional position. The Lord is the creator of everything, including the living entities, including the manifestation for us to take these temporary lives on. And we have to get above them. That's the game. That's the use of your free will. You can figure it out, you can focus on it, you can see it correctly, or you can mess it up. And you become lower and lower and lower species and stay longer and longer and longer in ignorance and entrapment in the bodies. Or you come up and go higher and higher and higher and become a servant of God. How does one become qualified to be a servant of God? An intense desire. I want to serve the Lord. I want to understand my true position again. Back to the old proverb, he who seeks finds. It's not a puzzle. It's something you have to work at. So if you work at trying to become a servant of God, you will. If you sincerely want to render service to the Supreme Lord, he will send you a self-realized soul and guide you and encourage you. This is the opportunity in the Vedic literature. This is the opportunity of the disciplic succession of spiritual masters. It is the root of the question-answering methodology. The Vedic literature is the instruction manual for the humans on the planet and explaining the entire existence, the material existence and the spiritual existence. God is known by many names in the material platform. Each religion knows God as a different conception. There's so many. There's Jah and Yah and Yahweh and Buddha, Allah, Christ, Krishna, Ram, Govinda, Hiriskisa, Parastama, Janardhan, Jagannath. All of these are names of God. And they're all here. All of these conceptions of God are here. In the spiritual world, God is known as Krishna. Krishna means the most, the all-attractive being, the topmost person. What a beautiful form, what a beautiful conception of God. He's not an old man with a beard in the clouds. Hello, who wants to be an old man? Krishna is never older than 16, 18, 20 years old. When he was on this planet, he was 120 years he was here, and he didn't look older than 18 to 20 at any point. Because he's not subject to the degradation of the laws of nature like these material bodies are. So you can see so many of the issues we have are because of nature. It's not our relationship with Krishna. We need to revive our relationship with Krishna. Become Krishna's servant. He's got room for unique servants with unique qualities, with unique intention and a strong determination to render service to him. That's what is required. You must have eagerness. Eager to be a servant of God, to help, to care. Find out what is the Lord's plan and find what is your position. How can you participate in it? How can you help? Because the Lord has so many things he's doing to maintain and to encourage and to liberate the living entities. He has so many services. He needs so many servants. And you have to just use your free will to try to understand the Lord's plan, to find your position in it, and follow the instructions of the spiritual master, that plan becomes alive to you. You learn how was the Lord spreading knowledge of himself through distributing the books of the spiritual master, the Vedic knowledge. How was the Lord purifying the living entities so they become awakened enough to hear the message? The chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, purification by vibration rate. You feel that. Someone comes to you and says, you're an idiot. You go, whoa, wait, what? Someone comes to you and says, thank you very much. I very much appreciate your contribution. Whoa. One is medicine. One is toxic. Similarly, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the medicine that purifies the mind and the heart and the senses, frees you from karmic reaction. It opens the door to liberation, to love of God. So we are making an attempt under the instructions of the spiritual master, to bring Vedic knowledge to the people, to bring the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra into their ear. You can hear in the background, I'm playing the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra for you. It enters the ear and it purifies he who is hearing. It purifies you. And this is the prerequisite. This is the beginning. Hearing is the beginning of devotional service. The pure servant of God is engaged in devotional service unending, non-stop. He's given up the selfishness of the material world. He's given up the illusion that anything here has permanent value. And he's engaged as much as he can of his day thinking, willing, working, serving Krishna. Because otherwise he's serving desires, desires that bind him to the cycle of birth and death. So the spiritual master teaches you, you must break the cycle of birth and death. And you break it by being fixed in devotional service to Krishna. Not by repeating your desires. Everybody wants to eat something. Oh, I want to eat something very nice. And you do it day after day after day, month after year, you eat all the time. Something very nice. You wouldn't eat something crummy. But the people are lost. They're concerned, oh, let's go to this cafe and eat. Oh, let's sit on this place and eat. Oh, let's go there and eat. This is all selfishness. You should eat food offered to God in sacrifice such that it's purifying of your intelligence. It's just like the Maha Mantra. It purifies you such that you can qualified to do a higher quality servant. So the servant who practices these processes, he eats only food offered in sacrifice. He chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. He reads the Vedic literature. He serves the spiritual master and the servants of the spiritual master. He finds he can think of Krishna all the time. There's no restriction. He can actually think. His mind is thinking all the time anyway, right? Everybody's mind is thinking all the time anyway. So if we can change that thinking from so many desires over to what will satisfy Krishna, thinking of him and his activities, his pastimes, his associates, his other servants, his glorious deeds, his magnificent appearance. So many things we can think about Krishna all the time. We don't have to think about the power bill. All these necessities of life, they're taken care of if you're a servant of God. The servant is taken care of. This is what he says in Bhagavad Gita. Just surrender unto me, become my devotee, offer your prayers and obeisances unto me, serve me with rapt attention. I will deliver you from most dangerous kind of fear. Do not fear. This is what everyone wants. They want a fearless existence of happiness in the service of God, in the association of God with great people who don't cheat, lie, steal, and belittle. This is what we want. This is what is offered to a sincere, a true servant of God. So if you raise yourself above this selfishness, you learn to have faith in God and his promise that he'll take care of you. If you find a way that you can serve Krishna under the instructions of the spiritual master, you feel different. You become different. You are liberated from the lower misconceptions of life, the lower values. Cheating, stealing, lying, etc. is irrelevant. Why? You're working with the boss. You don't have to be groveling with the guys putting out the rubbish. You're working with, you're working for the boss. You are responsible. You have duty. You have service to do. You're not wandering, fulfilling desires, acting like an idiot. You're on assignment. Your life is an assignment of love of God to fulfill the needs and wishes of others. The servant of God. He's benevolently inclined toward everyone. So he needs servants to help him. To bring this knowledge, to bring this liberation. He's not trying to fix this material world. He's not trying to make life happy. He's not trying to make everybody get what they want. That's not his job, nor his intent. That's just the people's selfish desire. The Lord's intent is to get you out of these temporary material bodies, return to the spiritual world, and be involved with devotional service with other servants of God. Enter into the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. Become significant in the service of God. So this is a great responsibility that is wonderful in its effects, that returns and provides you with what you're looking for: eternal bliss and knowledge. No confusion, knowledge about what? Everything. Eternally, no end. Continuation of existence in a happy, blissful state. Peaceful, happy, joyful, ecstatic. Don't you wish you could be really happy all the time? And be in association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord Himself, Sri Krishna? Oh my goodness. This is achievable to every single living entity if you follow the method, if you approach the spiritual master, if you actually desire to go, desire to be a true servant of God, selfless servant. This is where the happiness comes in. You're selfless. You're not feverish about my own survival. You're not crazy about what am I going to do. You're free of fear, free of anxiety, happy, aware of your duty and service and executing it and fulfilling it to the best of your ability. This is where you belong. He needs servants. He wants. You're created as a servant, but you're not serving him. You're serving your body, your mind, your senses, your family, your nation, your own, all sorts of things. Your possessions. You have to walk off on these things. You have to turn your head away from the material misconceptions and turn yourself to your eternal occupation of love of God, servant of God. This is where we all come back to our normal condition. This is the quest. This is the goal of the Vedic literature. This is the instruction of the spiritual master. This is the importance of hearing the Hare Krishna mantra, eating spiritual food offered to the Lord, reading the Vedic literature, serving the spiritual master. It all builds you up to being a sincere servant of God, where you know your duty, you're expert at executing your service and duty, and you're confident. You're fulfilled within. This is the real platform. This is where you belong. This is who you really are. This is who we all really are. Servants. True, eternal, spiritual, enlightened servants of God. This has to be your quest. Then you're really using your human form of life correctly. You have to have determination to try to become the best servant of God you can become. And don't let this external world bother you. Don't let it distract you. Stick to the path of being a great divine servant of God. This is what he wants for you. This is what is available to you. Please take up this method. Bhagavad Gita as it is, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Read the Vedic literature. Hear the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra.
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.